For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. Brian McClain is Hesher, and both are on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, here we go. Brian McClain show right here on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. TNTradio.live is the website. Hop on over there and check it out if you're new to TNT Radio. And hey, if you listen every day, get on over there, check it out. We always have new information up there for you. Of course, the schedule, the what's on events calendar, all that good stuff. Now, this is a bit of a PR move, but I gotta say, I kind of like it. Trump buys a new Glock in South Carolina before speaking at that heavily packed event. Did you see the pictures and the video of the event? My goodness, so many people come out. You gotta wonder, where is the Joe Biden rally at this point? I don't know. Last time I saw a Joe Biden rally, it was in the middle of COVID, right? What did we see? We saw like a dozen cars pulled up and parked 6 feet apart with people wearing masks inside of them. So pretty stark difference there. Haven't really seen a Joe rally since then. But out of Gateway Pundit right here, who flagged this one up, this is how you do retail politics. President Trump is showing the American people that he will stand for the Constitution and the Second Amendment. Well, Trump, again, another open goal for you. If you really want to stand for the Second Amendment, you're going to have to eat your words on that red flag law thing, okay? Because I don't think many of us are forgetting what you had to say about that. And that, I'm sorry, red flag laws are unconstitutional. So I have to put a red flag on the red flag laws. Now, Gateway Pundit reported on the large crowd in attendance at the event. And hours before the doors opened, President Trump went and bought himself a new Glock. And golly gee, it's not just a standard Glock, it's a Gucci Glock. So good for you, former President Trump. That was a epic PR move right there. Now, what about Michelle Obama? Michelle Obama to rake in more than $700,000 for a one-hour lecture on diversity and inclusion. Where, you ask? In Munich. In Munich. Okay. So former First Lady Michelle, Big Michelle Obama, will be paid more than $700,000, so nothing to see here. Move along. According to reports, Michelle Obama traveled from Malacora to Munich to deliver a one-hour speech. Could you imagine talking for 1 hour and making $700,000? Well, they're euros, so do the math, but it's still a lot of money. Still a lot of money. My goodness. Is this how our politicians become multi-bazillionaires on $200,000 a year salaries? I suppose that is worth our consideration. Now, let's see here. What do we got? Laura Trump. Laura Trump's Won't Back Down cover now available for pre-download. How interesting. Laura Trump is releasing her first song with Mailman Media's new country music sublabel. Laura's song gives Tom Petty's hit Won't Back Down a country spin and will be released in 4 days. So you got that to look forward to. I do find I bring this one up, though, because I find this very interesting that you get these songs of freedom and liberty that just sort of pop up. It's like whack-a-mole lately. You know, we've seen this multiple times. I could use that guy Oliver as another example. Or Tom McDonald, the rapper, you know, their songs will just, bam, all of a sudden they're number one on Apple Music, and you just don't hear, they don't get the same cred. I'm guessing that Laura Trump is not going to be getting a whole lot of cred, but it's already looking, pre-orders already have it looking, you know, like it's going to go big. So that'll be interesting. And let's see here, Enrique Tarrio, famous for, you know, getting put in jail for J6. Good news, Tarrio and his family raised $98,784, for a very exact amount, towards his legal defense fund. And I'm just curious, you know, How does that work for the other 999 people who don't have as big a names and as much coverage as Tario has? Asking for a friend, I don't know. Do all of the J6ers have GoFundMe or GiveSendGo accounts like this? Very interesting. I guess we'll just have to keep an eye on that one. But yeah, and this one I find very interesting also. Do you remember in 2017, the Vault 7? Remember Vault 7? Well, there's a man named Joshua Adam Schulte, and he was convicted last week of receiving, possessing, and distributing child pornography in New York City, a conviction which will likely result in decades of imprisonment after his scheduled January 10 sentencing. And he has been held without bail since 2018. He's accused of being the most prolific and important leaker of confidential intelligence community secrets. And the disclosures he revealed to the public were more consequential than other famous leakers and whistleblowers in the past, including Snowden and Daniel Ellsberg. Schulte has said that he is being set up by the government as a scapegoat because of the embarrassing fallout from the disclosures. So he might be onto something there. I do find this troubling also, though, because, of course, you and I, we want to know the truth on this. Are they telling us the truth? That's the big question right there. And if they're not telling us the truth, then you start to wonder about weaponization factors. You start to wonder about what's going on with Russell Brand and others, because it sure seems similar. And he certainly has made himself a political enemy by leaking what he did with the Vault 7. I spoke with John McAfee about that when it was breaking back in 2017, and he had some very, very interesting commentary to make on that. Now, I will remind you, for all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, fundraisers happening near you, you'll want to visit the What's on Events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Clashing on the controversies.
It's a woke society, and I am fed up with it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So, Carrie Lake's last day of trial was interesting, and the latest lawsuit to inspect the fraudulent 2022 mail-in ballot signatures from Maricopa County in her fight against the stolen election. Now, Gateway Pundit reported live on day one of Lake's trial last Thursday, and Rhino, Maricopa County recorder Stephen Ricker testified Thursday on Maricopa County's illegal mail-in ballot signature verification procedures and excused his office for refusing to be transparent by providing public records. You can find the replay of the hearing over there at Gateway Pundit and any, you know, honest media outlet. Hopefully it's out there on YouTube as well. But essentially, Maricopa County refused to provide the records, claiming it would have a chilling effect on voters to know that their information will be made public. Never mind the fact that signatures are used and made public every day for contracts, court documents, home deeds, and checks at the restaurant, just to name a few. So am I surprised to hear this? No, of course not. A chilling effect. Come on. That's just ridiculous. And Trump is saying that MSNBC and NBC will be investigated for country-threatening treason if he is reelected. So, again, Trump is going hard right now, getting ready for the season coming up here. Former President Donald Trump has vowed that MSNBC and NBC News will be investigated for this stuff in a post to Truth Social. Just last night, Trump blasted the network's parent company, Comcast, and he said, quote, "They are almost all dishonest and corrupt. But Comcast, with its one side and vicious coverage by NBC News, and in particular MSNBC, often and correctly referred to as MSDNC," I'm glad to see that one trending and getting becoming part of the lexicon, "should be investigated for its country-threatening treason." So he took aim at the company for these relentless pushing of the Russiagate conspiracy theory in particular, which he called a big campaign contribution to Democrats. So, you know, it's pretty interesting to see Trump, you know, continuing onward here. And I gotta bring this one up. Newsom signs law requiring gender neutral bathrooms in California's K through 12 schools. So there's a number of pretty freak show bills that hit Newsom's desk in the last couple of weeks here, some of which, interestingly, were not passed. But I think this kind of shows that just because something wasn't passed, you know, about gender affirmation with parents and all that, there was a particular onerous one that was coming across his desk that would basically say the state could take your kids away if you didn't support them in their gender transitions, which is so weird to me. That's like saying the state could take your kid away if you don't support them in going and getting a tattoo at the age of 14 or taking up smoking or something like that. But anyways, gender neutral bathroom. So this one did go through. It was signed 2 days ago on Saturday and expands a state law that schools allow students to use bathrooms that align with their gender identity, which, by the way, is a slippery slope because we're seeing not just kids, but adults also identify as dogs and cats and teapots and, you know, Vans sneakers and all these different things. I mean, how many different bathrooms are you going to have to build to contain the 30 some odd gender identities? The bill, which explicitly requires an additional gender-neutral option, was inspired by an attempt by Chino Valley Unified to restrict transgender students' access to certain bathrooms and sports facilities, as reported by the Los Angeles Times. The law is part of a package of bills aiming to protect LGBTQ plus youths and comes amid proliferating culture wars in districts with conservative controlled school boards whose focus has become parental rights and student gender identity. So what we're seeing here is the parental pushback. We're feeling the effect of the mama bears out there. And of course, obviously the papa bears, hopefully, that are backing them up. But yeah, we're starting to see student walkouts in Pennsylvania. Last week, we saw a student walkout in, I forget if it was a high school or a middle school, over this exact topic. So this is just going to ramp up. This is going to keep ramping up. And unfortunately, we are far enough into this aspect of culture wars that it is not going away. It is absolutely not going to go away. And in 2021, the Chino Valley District resolution, which would have required students to use a bathroom matching their biological sex, did not pass after State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurman warned them that it was unlawful. Unlawful. Was it unlawful, or did this law need to be passed for it to become unlawful? See, this is the tiptoe right here. You wedge it into the culture, and then you legislate it afterward. That's the only way this kind of thing happens. And we're so far gone now that it's going to be a fight. So that parents' rights, that student gender identity topic, I hate to say it, but you're going to have to strap in for more of that because it is definitely not going anywhere. And Gavin Newsom, you know, I think that the high capacity, quote unquote, high capacity magazine ban and the, you know, gender affirming will take your kids away bills. I don't have the numbers to hand. I'm thinking that those may have been struck down and or vetoed just to kind of add a little bit of dissonance, right? Maybe capture, maybe just try to hold on just a little bit to that center left vote just in case he gets tapped in to run in place of sleepy Joe Biden. Who knows? We're going to take a break here with today's news talk. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to TNT Radio.
Jesse Zerwell on TNT Radio.
Whatever was going on with those fires, whether they were organic or whether they were started intentionally, I don't know if anybody knows that. but they reached New Jersey, and the effects were not like anything I'd experienced before with fires in either the U.S. or on the so-called North American continent. And what's interesting is that, of course, we have what happened in Maui with the fire or fires there. And recently there have been fires of questionable provenance, to say the least, in Johannesburg in South Africa, particularly in poor neighborhoods there. And they don't seem to be organic in origin. So it seems to be arson that is responsible. And when one thinks about what fires like that create in terms of destruction, and then the opportunity zones, so-called, that arise for investors and other entities to come in and quote-unquote save the day, things get even more curious.
Jesse Zerowell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Radio works because of its ability to personalize to the listener.
What's exciting these days is that people are rediscovering it. You know, people are really rediscovering just how powerful radio is, how ubiquitous it is. It's in our cars, it's in our homes. There are so many new ways to access it. It's everywhere.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Not the station for people who label truth as misinformation just because they don't like it.
For facts and truth.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The southern border invasion is one of the biggest topics in our nation right now, as it should be. We've lost over 100,000 Americans to fentanyl poisoning. As of April, I believe, and it's now September, there were over 82,000 minors whose whereabouts were currently unknown. Pretty bad. We have over 2 million foreign nationals in the country illegally from over 150 countries. Crimes on the rise, trafficking of all kinds expanding by the day. Clearly, the Democrat Party isn't going to push for any change, and the Republican Party's not doing much about it beyond lip service, many would say. Who would be the preferred Republican candidate to address the issue? Well, my next guest says that people ask him all the time why he supports Ron DeSantis after he's already worked for Donald Trump. Joining us is former Attorney General of Virginia, Ken Cuccinelli. Ken, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you.
It's great to have you. Now, what do you think about that? What do you tell people when they ask you this question?
Yeah, I do get asked a good bit. I was the Deputy Secretary at the Department of Homeland Security under Trump, and we did a lot of good things. And, you know, I'm sure your listeners know many of them, but there were things that Trump just refused to do. I begged him to take on the cartels. He would not do it. He said, well, Esper won't like it. Esper was the Secretary of Defense. My response was, hey, works for you. Order him to do it. Oh, no, I just don't think so. And I mean, this was literally, if you remember a few years back when those Mormon women and children were slaughtered in northern Mexico. The president and I talked the next morning. We were in vehement agreement about how angry we were. These were dual American and Mexican citizens. And he gave me the green light to go ahead and put a plan together, but he would never execute on it or any part of it. And you don't need to trust me. What do you remember from the Trump administration about taking on cartels? Nothing. Because we did nothing there. And I noticed they're running an ad now that says, oh, Trump sent 5,000 troops to the border. Ooh, wow, that sounds tough. You know, they were armed with paper clips, staplers, and laptops, and the occasional deadly pair of binoculars. And that's it. They were there to process people and paper. They did not do anything. They didn't turn a single person back from the border, and they didn't engage at the border. Troops, when they are deployed, have rules of engagement. The rules of engagement for our 5,000 troops who were sent to the border were don't engage. Those are the rules of engagement. Don't. And so when people ask me, why do I support Ron DeSantis, he's committed to sending troops to the border with more than staplers, paper clips, and laptops, but to bring their full kit and to turn people around at the border who are invading this country and not just suffer it quietly And instead, he's willing to suffer the slings and arrows of the press for looking tough on the border, because we should look tough on the border. Otherwise, we don't have a border. And President Trump never acted on that, was never willing to do it. And Ron DeSantis is the only person running for president who will reliably close our border between the legal ports of entry. This has been a centerpiece of his campaign. When he ran for governor, even the hardest things that he said he would do, he has done. And he'll do them as president.
And do you think, how does that actually, walk me through that a little bit. So he has to, what, talk to Mayorkas, or, I mean, he can fire Mayorkas? I mean, what does that look like on his first day of office? How does
his first day, he'll fire all the Biden cabinet members. And he's the commander-in-chief. The military works for him. He can order set numbers of troops to the border and keep ramping that up until the border is closed. It takes a lot longer to grow the border patrol to a point where they can actually close down the border from illegal crossings, because that you have to go through Congress and get appropriations and do all those things. Well, we already have a military more than big enough to do this job. And just so folks don't get overly alarmed here, you're not talking about bombing Mexico or rolling tanks in. We're just literally talking about putting our folks on the border and stopping people who might try to cross, literally laying hands on them, turn them back around, and point them back into Mexico. And it is not really that hard as a technical matter. But only one person, Ron DeSantis, is willing to do it.
And the laws are already in place. I mean, he doesn't have to, you know, do executive orders. He might have to delete a couple of executive orders from the previous administration. But there's really no, there's no massive challenge of legislation or voting or anything like that. Am I correct?
You are correct. This is the Article 2 power of the president. Already exists to protect our border from invasion. That's what's going on. This is not police work. This is national security work. And if you don't have a border, you don't have a country. I know I don't need to convince you of that, but only one person, Ron DeSantis, is willing to actually take all the slings and arrows of the press and not hire people like Mark Esper. I mean, one of the problems that Donald Trump had was that he hired so many people who were against his own agenda. He buttressed the deep state. He didn't fight the deep state. He promoted Anthony Fauci. He gave him an award. He hired John Kelly, Rex Tillerson, John Mattis, all these people, Christopher Wray, all these people that Trump complained about, Mark Milley. He hired them. He brought them in. He filled the deep state with his own people. And he has no idea how to fight it. Ron DeSantis has tamed the Florida deep state, and he will do it for America.
All right. Neverbackdown.org is the website. Ken, what about the diplomatic aspect? It occurs to me that we've now got, I mean, some of the numbers and stories I'm seeing are difficult to believe, but they're saying there's like 40,000 groups of 40,000 people coming from as far as, I don't even remember, like Panama or something like that. And it made me think, like, how many borders are these people crossing? How many agreements are made?
Oh, yeah, they're crossing a lot of borders. And you may remember from about 2.5 years ago when Biden became president, threw the doors open. The president of Honduras was frustrated. At that time, the president of Mexico was frustrated. He was blaming Biden for this. But people also need to realize, Mexico is not an ally. They live next door, but they are not an ally. They are leftists. They are supporting leftists like Cuba and Nicaragua and Venezuela in this hemisphere. So we have a real challenge with our neighbor here in Mexico. And it isn't getting any better anytime soon. So that's part of the reality. And you are right to look at the diplomatic challenges that come along with this. But the fact of the matter is that if you want to solve this problem, you've got to tackle all those challenges. And first and foremost among them is closing our own border. You know, Mexico will start behaving a whole lot differently if they get stuck with this problem.
Yes, yes, absolutely they will. Now, I'm going to take a headline here, but before I do that, I just want to set this up. I'll put it in your pocket for you to think about during the headline. But I want you to tell us a little bit about the cartel factor and how that all plays into it right after this headline with TNT Radio.
And now, dude, I have huge news.
I knew it!
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. President Biden reportedly pledged during a meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky on Thursday to supply the war-torn country with ATACMS missiles. The long-range missiles, which can hit targets up to 190 miles away, would represent a significant upgrade for the Ukrainian forces, which currently only have missiles capable of striking at a range of around 150 miles. The Writers Guild has worked out a tentative deal with Hollywood Studios to end the strike that started in May. None of the terms have been announced yet.
Silence for thinking differently? Silence for thinking differently? Not here. Silence for asking questions? Not here. Not here. Silence for discussing the other side of the story? Not on TNT Radio. Join the conversation anytime. Search TNT Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Getter, or Gab. Download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Neverbackdown.org. We're with Ken Cuccinelli. Ken, what about the insane organized crime factor that we're dealing with? Because I think when we talk about cartels in the media in America, it kind of doesn't really paint the correct picture of what that actually means and how what a huge long
hole
that is.
You're very correct about that. Correct. These are not criminal organizations. They're quasi-government. Mexico does not control a third of the entire geographic country of Mexico. And if you know the history here, they really never have. You know, whether it was the bandidos 100 years ago, or the cartels today, the Mexican government has never been a fully functional sovereign government over the entire territory of Mexico. And, our goal should be to get them full control of their own territory while wiping out these cartels. They have multi-billion dollar military and intelligence budgets and apparatus. They are the most evil, vicious people in the Western Hemisphere, and they are in bed with large swaths of the local, state, and federal government of Mexico. So, you know, there are people all across Mexican government who are conspiring with the cartels. They make money off it. And let's not kid ourselves, in some instances, they also stay alive. So they're threatened to cooperate and they're paid to cooperate. So it's a complicated situation. I don't want to suggest that they're all equally evil with the cartels. They are not. But we need to open up the options for them to fight back. By fighting back ourselves, we can bring a lot more to the table. And again, only Ron DeSantis has said, I will not take any of these options, even options like special forces, off the table, whereas no one else has done that. And he's the only one who brings that as a credible, not just a threat, but a plan. You don't necessarily have to use military force if the goals are obtainable in other ways. But if you take the option off the table, the opportunity to achieve the same goals through, say, diplomacy with Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and so forth, is much more difficult.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad we're talking about what it actually means when we say cartel. And I'm glad you also brought up, you know, some of these people operate at their behest through threats of violence. I just the other day saw a very disturbing video about a mayor being dragged through the town, tied to the back of a truck for not, playing ball with the cartel. I mean, that's much, much more sinister and much deeper than, you know, your typical American might think.
I was not kidding about the most evil, vicious people in the Western Hemisphere. They absolutely are. And one of the things, you know, I'm sure on your show you talk all the time about how the media bias in the United States. But the first form of bias is what you don't report. As it relates to Mexico, the degree of viciousness, literally the slaughter of innocent women and children, in addition to men, across the country, unarmed, defenseless, it happens all the time. All the time. Every single day. And it happens to the people who are illegally immigrating through Mexico, and it happens within Mexican society every single day because of these evil cartels. And we also would be remiss, since we're sort of exploring lots of the nuances here, without the drug demand from Americans, these folks, they wouldn't go out of business, because they're now making more money with human trafficking than drug trafficking, but we would cut billions out of their revenue. And you cut their revenue, you cut their ability to be violent, to buy military grade hardware, which, by the way, they have. So we need to own some of this as a people ourselves as well. Again, it's complicated, but when we throw open the border, we lower those drug prices to the lowest levels ever. And the laws of supply and demand are very real, including for drug users. If I can buy more drugs and I'm addicted to the drug, I'm going to buy more of that drug. And the Biden administration are the cartel's best friends. And it is having tragic consequences for this country and their country.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's really bad. And what do you think, what is Ron DeSantis, what do you think he would do with regards to the wall? And as a follow-up question to that, I'm curious, you know, there was the We Build the Wall campaign, and one of our decorated Air Force veterans who lost both of his legs and an arm in the Iraq War is in jail because of his donations and, you know, his role in the We Build the Wall campaign. Do you think Ron would get back into securing the border with a wall, and would he pardon Brian Colflash?
So I can't speak to the specific case. He's made it clear that he would look at a lot of these folks who are politically, have been prosecuted on a politically questionable basis. So I would expect him to be swept in there and considered for a pardon by President DeSantis. But in terms of building the wall, remember, in the best case, that would take years to do. And even if we had a wall tomorrow, look at the Biden administration. They would just help build ladders over our own wall. You still need the men and women behind that wall who have the political will and backing to keep people out of our country, period. And to remove the ones who are here illegally, period. The Trump administration removed people at a slower rate than the Obama-Biden administration on a month-by-month basis and overall. They were terrible, just cowered from it all, didn't want to look mean. The president pulled operations for removals repeatedly, and it was very frustrating for the folks in ICE whose job it is to deport people who are here illegally. It was very frustrating. But again, Ron DeSantis has said he will finish building the wall. But it's important for Americans to know that he's going to secure our border in the first month he's president by moving our military down there. So you have men and women who are willing to stop the invasion and whose job it is to stop the invasion, and who are going to be not restrained like they are in the Biden administration and like they were in the Trump administration, from stopping people at the border. That's our quick fix. The wall with a beefed up border patrol is the long-term fix, but that will take years, and he's committed to that as well.
Right. And the processing, the locating, processing, deportation of 2+ million people, I mean, that in and of itself is a mammoth task, and I think it underscores why the border needs to be closed immediately. I mean, you know, we just had the 22nd anniversary of 9/11, and we, as a nation, we accepted a Patriot Act and an ever-growing NDAA that are frankly unconstitutional in the name of keeping us safe from, you know, violent foreign nationals. And now here we are with what happened to that message. Finish us up. You got about a minute.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And look, when 9/11 happened, Ron DeSantis responded by going into the military. And he's the only veteran running for president. He served in a war zone in Fallujah. He was a JAG officer. He also served in Guantanamo Bay. So he was dealing with terrorists from other parts of the world in that process. So he knows the subject matter that he, the most deadly aspects of the subject matter that a president has to deal with. He has looked at it eye to eye, and he's the only one prepared to deal with that. Others like Trump and Biden, war came when they came of age, and they didn't join their country in fighting in our wars. Ron DeSantis did. And he also is heavily committed to keeping us out of those wars going forward. And who better than someone who's been in one?
All right. Well said, sir. Thank you so much, Ken Cuccinelli, for joining us here. Neverbackdown.org is the website. Sign up, get on the mailer list over there, and follow over there. We're going to keep an eye on this. Thank you so much, Ken, for being here with us on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
It was not a good day for the regime. Up at the House of Representatives, stumblebum Joe's pusillanimous pipsqueak of a corrupt AG, Merrick Garland, stumbled and mumbled through testimony that wasn't all that revealing and certainly wasn't that forthcoming. Hectored from both sides of the aisle, Mousy Merrick looked like he just wanted the earth to open up and swallow him whole. Democrat Hellcat Herod and Pramila Jayapal hectored hapless Garland over not forcing religious hospitals to murder unborn babies. But the most damaging salvo of the day was fired by Freedom Caucus firebrand Representative Troy Nels of Texas, who played the tape of Joe Biden bragging about having extorted, while he was vice president, Ukrainian President Poroshenko into firing the prosecutor Shokin, who was investigating Burisma and Joe Biden's son. An impeachable offense, if ever there was one, and when Garland wouldn't say that it was an impeachable offense, Nels said, "That's why you need to be impeached too." The mask is off, and anyone with eyes to see can see that the SS Biden is sinking faster than the Titanic. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
It's sad and a life-changing moment when someone special in your life reaches their end. Many of us have had loved ones who have died. Unfortunately, dying is a part of life. It teaches us to live every day to its fullest. Family, friends, workmates, and those we come in contact with all impact us in special ways. Fortunately, there is a place that helps us when this time comes. The Hospice Foundation of America is there when you need them most. Hospice is medical care for people with a short anticipated life expectancy, when a cure isn't an option, and the focus shifts to symptom management and quality of life. It's so confusing to have an expert with you during these times who are trained to address physical, psychosocial, and spiritual needs of the person, family members, and other intimate unpaid caregivers. Visit hospicefoundation.org to find out how you can donate, and be assured that 95 cents of every dollar you give goes directly to our programs that support hospice and bereavement care in the United States. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
The conversation continues.
Our public education system, which I am now renaming our public miseducation system.
On today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
With a potential government shutdown looming, of course, we have to bring this up. And, you know, I hate it that the government may have to shut down. We've seen this happen again and again and again. I think it's happened 20 some times in the last 40 years or so. I've actually experienced it, as I mentioned in the previous hour. And it can be a real bummer, especially for our service people, you know, our men and women in uniform. A lot of them, sadly, kind of like our teachers, don't get paid what they should considering what their job is. So we're a little bit concerned about that. Of course, our government is running rampant and spending money on insane things that just don't make sense to a lot of Americans also. So I think there might be a bit of a dissonance happening right now here in the nation. So it's important that we talk about the potential of a government shutdown. So joining me is State Representative Steve Toth. a small business owner representing South Montgomery County right here in the Texas House of Representatives. He's also an ordained minister, and Steve serves as the chairman of the board of the Mighty Oaks Foundation, which I love, bringing veterans with post-traumatic stress the message of Christ and how he longs to heal broken hearts. Steve, thank you for joining me today here on today's News Talk.
Great to be with you, Brian.
It's a pleasure to be with you, sir. Now, what are your feelings on this the threats of government shutdowns? How does that affect us here in Texas and across the nation?
I hate the fact that we are engaging in this narrative about the ills of a government shutdown. We should be talking about the ills of continued deficit spending. Brian, every dollar of monopoly money that the federal government prints is $1 that's removed from the middle class economy. It's $1 that's removed from the spending power of small businesses, medium-sized businesses, which create 80% of the jobs. Over the past 2 years, between 2022 and 2023, we're going to print roughly $3 trillion of monopoly money. That's being removed from the middle class private sector, and it's being put into the hands of the federal government. This is the most obscene kind of tax, and it's destroying our economy. And the reality is that when there is a government shutdown, and we all remember 1995, 1996, when Newt Gingrich stood up to Clinton, and they did. They had a sustained government shutdown, but it led to the 1997 Balanced Budget Act. And that's the last time we had a balanced budget. But none of these Republicans in Washington have a spine. And all you have to do is just say, hey, you're going to get blamed. And it's like, oh, forget it. Can't do that. Hey, I don't want to get blamed for something. I don't want to get blamed for doing the right thing. It's awful.
It really is, you know, and I almost feel like it's just they're allowing themselves to be manipulated, or are being manipulated, or we could probably go a little more conspiratorial, but I'll stay at the surface here, by emergency after emergency after emergency. You know, we've got COVID, we've got culture, we've got Ukraine, you know, I don't even know what's going to be next. Oh, of course, we have to indict Donald Trump 4 times. It's just like a never-ending series of dialectical dominoes that just keep falling, and they keep using every single one of these things as the excuse to print another $7 trillion. Let's not forget COVID.
It's terrible. So this is a budget thing. It's the budget rule of 72, which I'm sure you've heard of it. It's any multiple of 72 doubles the initial sum. So right now, we're growing spending at 8% compounded times 9 years is 72, right? And so every 9 years right now, we're doubling the amount of money that we're spending at the federal level. Who can do that? What business can do that and stay in business? You can't.
None.
And what they're doing is they're choking. The government is choking its customer base. It's the taxpayer to death. And it will lead to our economy eventually cratering. The only reason we're really getting away with it right now is we live in unprecedented times when Europe is doing this, China is doing this. And so we really don't know what the eventual outcome will be of this, other than the fact that it's going to be really bad.
Yeah. I mean, right. It's really difficult for me to believe that this is all mismanagement and I guess we all never like learned how to balance a checkbook sort of thing, or never went to business school, never worked in a business or been on a board. You know what I mean? It almost feels like, I'm glad you pointed out that like all of pretty much the whole world is doing that. But I gotta point out that if you look at some of the globalist luminaries, you know, if you read your Carol Quigley's and whatnot, they actually talk about this as a means to create a global governance. What do you think about that? Is that too far out? Am I have like too much tinfoil in my hat, or is there something maybe going on here intentionally?
You know, as Rush Limbaugh once said, you're not paranoid if they really are out to get you. And you know, all I could do is, brother, is just judge the fact that what they're doing is destroying our economy. What I can do is judge the fact that these are really smart people. They're not stupid. They know what they're doing. And so, you know, I try not to judge whether or not something is a conspiracy. I just judge their agenda, and their agenda is going to destroy us.
I feel the same way, sir. I mean, I look at the World Economic Forum, the Davos crowd, Bilderberg, all these, you know, names that circle around, and, you know, I set them all aside. I set the personalities aside and the affiliations aside, and I just look at, you know, their writing, you know, their white papers, the books they put out, some of the talks they give. And I look at the bullet points in it, right? I look at the speaking points, the platform, if you will, and I say, violation of First Amendment, violation of 10th Amendment, violation, you know, it's just like, and I put it all together, and then I say, well, if this is what you're going to call a great reset or a fourth industrial revolution or Big Bird's fun land, I don't care what you call it, America does not exist in that. We're no longer America in these paradigms.
We're not. And clearly that's the object. That's the goal of what they're doing. We stand for freedom. We stand for liberty. We have this crazy belief that government doesn't give us our rights, that our rights are come from nature's God. For me, it's, I know who my God is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That may be a little bit too far of a stretch for some, but, and if you can't buy that, then the founder said, then believe in nature's God, that is where your rights come from. But if you believe that your rights come from a piece of paper, or if you believe that your rights come from a government, then that which gives it to you can take it from you. And that's a bad thing. And I just think that's completely unacceptable to the globalist agenda, that they cannot control us. They can't tell us what to do and when to do it.
Yeah, 100%. And I thank you for that, you know. And what about the, let's shift maybe, not really though, it's kind of just another facet in what we're talking about here. I'm here in Central Texas and I'm seeing a lot of change. You know, not only do I see a lot of California, New York license plates this year, way more than when I moved here in 2015 by orders of magnitude. But, you know, it's like I'm seeing large groups of messed up cars driving in a way that, like, I feel like, wow, if I was driving a piece of crap car with two piece of crap cars being towed behind it with string, I probably would have been pulled over. I didn't know this was okay. And then I go down to the McAllen sector with one of my colleagues, and I'm talking to Border Patrol, I'm talking to National Guard, you know, Army National Guard, and trying to get a feel for what's going on down there. And it's, you know, no shade to our Border Patrol, but it's kind of border processing now instead of border patrolling. I know they don't want it that way. I'm not throwing shade, but what do you think about
border? I think Texas DPS is honestly trying to close the border right now. And we actually have documentation that U.S. Border Patrol is actually pulling out wire cutters, and they're actually cutting through razor wire to help people across the border. This is evil, what they're doing. I honestly believe this is so evil that I don't know how U.S. Border Patrol can sleep at night knowing that we have enough fentanyl, Mexican fentanyl coming across the border in 1 month that will kill more Americans than America lost of servicemen in 20 years of fighting the war on terror. And yet, in addition to that, we have little kids, little boys and girls that are being brought across the border from Mexico that will be sold into a life of human sex trafficking. I'm at the point where we should just throw these U.S. Border Patrol guys in freaking jail or throw them out of our state. Screw them.
You know, it makes me think of Project Lone Star. You know, I've been very critical of Project Lone Star ever since I found out about it. We're as Texas taxpayers, we're putting tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars into this thing over the years. And it's super frustrating when I see everything you just laid out right there. We see them, you know, I don't know. What do you think about Abbott, and what do you think about this Operation Lone Star?
So better late than never. I man, I'm excited. I'm thankful that he's claiming Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, that the people of Texas are in imminent danger, because we are in imminent danger.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that we're in imminent danger when we're going to lose more people in the United States to Mexican fentanyl deaths than we lose in Vietnam every year, right? Then, you know, you're nuts. You're absolutely freaking nuts. Yeah. You know, in 10 years, we're gonna lose more than a half million people, 600,000 people. This is freaking crazy, and it's got to stop. And I'm thankful the governor's getting serious about it.
Yeah, it's better late than never, indeed. And on the flip side of that, we've already crossed over the 2 million people, new people, illegal people here as it is. So, I mean, you know, I don't look at that as replacement, but a lot of people talk about it as replacement. And you can see why when you see that many Americans dying, you see this many new people here who, you know, are some of them in the mix have actually contributed to and or caused all those deaths. And if we look at the rates coming across Eagle Pass in the last week or so, we're seeing between 4,000 and 10,000 people and similar numbers in the Tucson sector. I mean, you do a little bit of arithmetic here and you're starting to see, you know, upwards of 8 to 10 million new people in the country if Biden were to get another 4 years. And Lord knows how many fentanyl deaths.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's just what we're seeing, right? So the number that we've always heard from Texas DPS, and we've heard this from U.S. Border Patrol, for everyone that you see, there are 3 or 2 at a minimum, maybe as many as 4. So 10,000 really becomes 40,000.
And we've got, I believe, 40,000 tracked on video coming up from Panama, if memory serves. It just blows my mind, sir, that a caravan, I can't even call that a caravan. To me, is when 3 or 5 of my buddies are in 3 cars going to a concert. That's a caravan. 40,000 right. People packed into, you know, trains and trucks and automobiles across 9 different borders to get to ours. I mean, there's got to be some sort of diplomatic chain that needs to be gone through.
And that's coordinated. That's completely coordinated by the cartels. Mm-hmm. These people don't get here. It's not like there's a Buc-ee's every 5 miles for them to stop at, use the bathroom, and buy water and food. You know, it's Mexico is desolate in huge stretches, and the amount of operations involved in moving that many people from South to Central to North America is just an amazing endeavor that costs millions of dollars that the cartel has thrown into this, and it will undermine America, will destroy us.
It absolutely is. And do you think that is the cartel separate from the Mexican government, or is the cartel in
some
charge
respects,
of the Mexican?
No, I mean, I really honestly, the point where Mexico's a failed government. Mexico's a failed government. And I really honestly, thank God I'm never going to be president, but if I was president, I would put troops on the northern border of Mexico and stop this, because it's destroying our nation.
Yeah.
I'm at the point where I think that most northern states in Mexico would welcome it, because those states have become narco states and they've made it impossible for good, honest, decent people to live there. We used to go down and build our church. We would take kids at Easter down there to build houses for people. And, you know, we would be sponsored by doctors and pastors. All those doctors have left. They've left because the cartel usually ends up kidnapping them, taking them, and forcing them to serve the cartel. But they've all left. And so we'd go down to Reynosa and build houses down there. Reynosa is a ghost town for all intents and purposes. It's nothing like it used to be. And it's because it's completely lawless. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's really bad. Sir, we're just about out of time. What do you want to leave us with? You got about 30 seconds.
Become an activist. We've got to get people to get off their butts, or we're going to lose our nation. And that's just all there is to it. You cannot afford to sit on the couch anymore and throw things at the TV. You got to get involved.
Right. Thank you so much, Steve Toth. It's been great to have you here. State Representative Steve Toth, we'll have you back on the show here on the Brian McLean Show. Really appreciate everything you're doing. Thank you for your service to the state and the nation. Thank you for those wonderful words at the end there. That is exactly what we need to hear. There's no more keyboard warrioring. You can do that in the nighttime hours, but in the daytime, you got to get active if we're going to turn this ship around. Thank you so much, sir. We'll have you back on TNT Radio.